Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Dan Burrell of the Jersey Mike Subs franchise opportunity. And Jersey Mike Subs goes all the way back to 1956, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Same to you, Marty. How are you? I'm doing fine.
Good, good. Once again, you know, it feels weird being back. You know, when we take a week off, you know, you feel a little rusty, but I'm excited for today's show. Got a good show.
Yeah, same here. It's a franchise we're excited about. Someone in, you know, my backyard, not too far from you.
That's
Jersey
right.
Yeah.
Interesting show, right? I mean, again, it looks like, it sounds like it started in Point Pleasant, which I was excited about. You know, I know Point Pleasant is a special place for you. It has some history for me and my wife as well. Our third date was in Point Pleasant, you know, so.
Yeah, it was my first, and that's where I first met my wife. And, you know, we always take our kids. I take a day off in the summer. We take them there for the day to go on the rides, and it's just a real nice day. So it's nice having, you know, the Jersey Shore in general, which is a nice aspect of New Jersey.
It is. It's a fantastic place. You know, so our last show, I hope you remember, Don, we met with the, this always happens, you know, the Barry Falcon, who was the president and co-founder of the Shelf Genie franchise opportunity. And Shelf Genie custom designs, builds, and installs a remarkable glide-out shelving system in any cabinet of your home. I thought it was a great show. I thought Barry was a fantastic guest. Any thoughts on 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, you're right, a good guest. He obviously was very excited about his company and product. He's a former franchisee. And you know, really knew his business, and just interesting—a real niche-type franchise. I think it's something that's really going to grow because who doesn't want to just have a service and product where you can create more storage and be more organized and
right.
just have an easy-to-use type of product like this glide-out shelving system? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I thought it was cool as well. You know, as you said, you're always fighting for more space. You know, I know we're always fighting for more space in the house, you know, as the baby gets bigger, you know. It's, you know, and it's one of those things too, Don, you know, it's probably not something that the average person can do. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that will go to like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, you know, and says, you know what, I can do this. And
right.
they typically screw it up, and then you call a company like Shelf Genie, you know, to come in and fix it for you, you know. So it really is a great service. I think that it's something that, you know, everyone who owns a home can use, you know. And I actually saw a clip, I don't know if it was from their website or it was YouTube, on how the whole thing actually works. But it really is, you know, for, I guess, lack of a better word, it's a really cool concept, you know. So
and it's
I like
not
the
like
fact,
they're asking you to replace your existing cabinets.
Right.
You just, you know, it's they'll custom it to fit whatever cabinets and, you know, shelving that system that you have.
Certainly a nice feature when you're selling your home, isn't it? You know, to
right.
kind of open up your cabinets and say, you know, check this out, you know.
Yeah.
So it is still it's still a very new concept. And I like the fact that Barry, you know, he can relate to the franchisee because he was one, you know.
Right.
So I always think that's very important. You know, the leadership of a franchise is always very important. So
for someone who's selling their house, you put this in. Once it's in, you're using it, you might decide not to sell your home.
That's true, right? You know, so it's like, you don't want to do this again, you know. But no, it was a great concept. I would like to, you know, follow them and you know, and eventually have them back on the show. It's always fun to have a franchise back when they've had significant growth over a year, you know, after being on our show,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's just interesting. I wanted to dedicate the show today too, Don, as you know, to our friend Ken Six. Ken was the host of Arbor Talk and suddenly passed away, and he hosted the show with another friend, Peter Felix, and he was just a great, incredible guy. He was a big fan of our show, and you know, I was a big fan of Ken's show. He typically followed us on Thursdays,
yeah.
and you know, it just Ken had this contagious, infectious laugh. You know, when he laughed, you laughed with him, and I got to be part of a tribute show. Last week,
right?
For Ken, you know, we kind of spoke about all the good times, you know, that we had with him. You know, Eddie Keyes was there, Paul Johnson, yeah, Peter was on the show, you know, and
yeah, I remember you telling me over the last few years speaking to him and you know, really being impressed was very shocking and sad.
It really was because he was just such a spark, you know. He was just, you know, he just had this. It was just wonderful laugh that you were just addicted to, you know. It's just he always made you feel good about yourself when you spoke to him, you know. So he's a really great guy, and it was nice to be part of all the wonderful memories, you know, that we had with him, you know. So dedicate the show to him today. And so what do we got going on over the next? We know what we got going on today, and I know we have a lot of upcoming shows. Just so our listeners know, we don't have them posted yet for March. And I think we're booked almost into April, Don, just so you know. So
right.
I know at the end of the month, we have, who's up at the end of the
Steve
month?
Steve Biegelman, CEO right. of Hollywood Tans franchise.
That's going to be a great, good timing, too, as we're getting ready to hop into spring, you know. And
yeah, it's pretty interesting. Just today, Jersey Mike's, Hollywood Tans, a couple of franchises based here in New Jersey.
Oh, I didn't realize that Hollywood Tans was in New Jersey as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
wow. That's
a coincidence, but
so,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, and I know you have some interesting articles that you want to talk about this week as well.
Yeah. First, just want to tell people about a few upcoming shows around the country, the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo. There are shows, Marty, this weekend in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Convention Center. Then February 21 and 22 in Columbus, Ohio. Early March, there's a show in San Jose. People wanting more information, go to usfranchiseexpos.com.
All right, good.
Here's something from American City and County. It says, SCM forms franchising task force. It says many officials view franchises and small businesses as a key to economic recovery, and the Washington-based U.S. Conference of Mayors, I never heard of that before, Franchising and Small Business and Cities Task Force aims to educate city officials on ways to promote their growth. The task force held its first meeting during USCM's winter meeting last month, and task force members plan to attend the Washington-based IFA, which is going to be in San Diego next week, and I'll be there.
Oh, wow.
Because franchise businesses provided more than 11 million jobs in 07, said Trenton, New Jersey mayor and past USCM president Douglas Palmer, who heads the task force. My goal is to help us mayors better understand the franchise business world and what it takes to get them started in our communities, Palmer wrote in an article aimed at encouraging mayors to join the task force. IFA president and CEO Matthew Shea hailed the task force as a sign that mayors value the economic output that franchise business contribute to local economies. Data show that the franchising industry outpaces many other sectors in terms of creating new business, new jobs, and more economic output, even during tough economic times, Shea said in a statement. So that's pretty interesting. Mayors forming a task force to talk about how to get more franchising business in their community.
That is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you'd be silent about that. You're stunned, right?
There you go. I'm shocked. I just passed out.
Yeah. That was interesting. Here's something. Fran Data press release. First ever compensation study of franchising-related jobs at Arlington, Virginia. The franchise compensation report has been released, marking the first time that jobs specific to the franchise industry have been benchmarked. Thought this was pretty interesting. The study performed by Fran Data, an independent research company that tracks and analyzes the franchise industry, looks at department heads and professional staff across seven job functions: compliance, field operations, franchise development, legal, marketing, site selection, and training. Data is provided for each job function, including salary average and ranges, starting base pay, commission or long-term incentives, and total compensation. Data is additionally grouped and analyzed by industry, population density, and size of franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on saying some of the key findings of the 91-page report includes franchising-related jobs in the table and full-service restaurant sector have the highest average base pay, total compensation of for 70% of franchise development team managers includes commissions, and franchise systems with 500 or more units tend to pay the most on the average base pay level, which makes sense. I guess your largest franchise systems maybe pay the highest,
right?
You know, in the industry, especially food. The report comes at a particularly helpful time for franchise systems, many of whom are reexamining their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
The HR being one of the most significant expense items for a company,
right.
It only makes sense to review salary along with all other areas of the budget, and now company leaders have a tool necessary to do so, explained Fran Data CEO Daryl Johnson. And I guess this company charges a fee for that type of report.
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty significant, too. I think you said it was like 90 pages, Don? I mean,
right.
So you can probably go to, what is it, frandata.com and buy that report, you know, which information is really very valuable. But, yeah, you think about that. I mean, the complexities of HR, you know, and having a good team for your franchise, you know, it is a lot of work. You know, it's one of the things that you have to think about, and all franchises are different, you know, when it comes to an HR standpoint. So,
right,
very interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, in good times or bad, companies should always be all on top of this, you know.
And there are a lot of franchises out there, I know, reevaluating the way they do things, you know.
Right.
You know, they're saying, is there waste here, or, you know, should we be doing this, or should we be doing that? So, it is interesting. It seems like more than ever since you and I have been involved in franchising that a lot of them are thinking outside the box now. We've seen a lot of interesting ideas, haven't we, over the last, you know, 6 months or so, you know. So it's good that a lot of them are reassessing, I think.
Right, yeah. I guess they can properly better plan and set goals.
Right.
You know, fiscal goals for the year based on some of these reports. So I'm sure a lot of franchisors will take advantage of that. Here's something, Marty, QSR Magazine. Are you ready? The decision to tackle a second location is not to be taken lightly. And a question is kind of set up with a question here. How do I gauge whether or not I'm ready to open my second unit?
Mm.
And it goes on. It says, obviously, you've got to have capital. Capital is really important. Secondly, you need to be convinced as a franchisor and a good franchisee should also be convinced that from a managerial standpoint, the operator can take all his attention and focus it on a second facility and not lose anything in the first effort.
Right.
By losing anything, I mean any kind of edge or ground that he has gained in all areas, whether it's service, inventory, control, cost percentages, or anything of that nature. It says many times franchisees build that second one thinking the first one was easy, the second one's going to be just as easy. They lose sight of all the really hard work that goes into it. I tell franchisees all the time, and this is Crystal, which is a food franchise CEO, Fred Exum, offers guidance. He's the one answering this. He says, I tell franchisees all the time, you have to understand that when you build a second restaurant, it's not just a doubling of your job. It's about 110% increase of your job because now you've got logistics and time out of store that you didn't have before on top of another store. You're more dependent on your management. If you're a single-unit operator, generally you can run the restaurant yourself, but when you open a second one, that becomes impossible. Therefore, you're more dependent on the individuals who work for you. That puts you in a position that you have not been in such a degree up until that point. Your speed of service needs to be consistent. Your operational brand assessment needs to be an acceptable level at the very minimum. It needs to be consistent, not just okay, it's great this month. Well, let's hurry up and do this before it goes back to when the norm, to what the norm has been lately. Staffing in particular management, needs to be stable. Those are the three big areas to benchmark against.
Right.
It says operators need to be current with all their vendors and their royalties. They shouldn't push the envelope in the financing arena so far that the second restaurant causes them to live on the edge. They need a strong balance sheet. If you're going to open a second restaurant, what you really ought to have is two managers who think about the business and are responsible like an owner would be. Mm-hmm. The owner's not going to be there at either location as much.
Right.
And he has to be at his one location. At best, he'll be at each one 50% of the time. You haven't got room for someone who always is waiting to be told what to do. You need to have self-starters as managers.
That's a great article. I mean, I think it's something that a lot of new franchisees think about, you know, is opening the second one. And as you said, you can't be in two places at the same time, you know, and then what happens when you go to your third and fourth, you know? I mean, it's so it is an important article. So yeah, I like it. I mean, this is something that we've debated on several occasions, Don. You know, do you when you're buying a franchise system, do you immediately buy two or three, you know, or do you just start off with one, you know? And we've gotten all different types of opinions on that. You know, I remember when we had Julie Bennett, author of the Franchise Times Guide to Buying a Franchise. You know, she said start off with one. You know, she said, see if you like it. See if, you know, the system is a match, you know, because sometimes it is hard to tell in the beginning. And, you know, then if you like it from there, go for the second one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a good example today, having Jersey Mike's on the show, but, you know, people who are becoming investors, becoming franchisees, I mean, you know, their goal is to have multiple locations.
Right,
that chooses the game plan initially. So maybe we'll, you know, talk today about that with Dan. This article goes on. He goes, when you open a second restaurant, you are now beginning to function more as a multi-unit supervisor than a general manager. You've got to find someone to take your place and then somebody on top of that. Owners often, they often overlook that. They think very well through the good parts, but oftentimes they don't really think about the obligations or the negative parts that come along with that. Opening a third restaurant is a whole lot easier than opening a second. That's pretty interesting. Because it says by that time you've already learned the lessons. Instead of doubling your problems, you've only gone up by a third, and you've already started functioning in the role of a district supervisor by that time. You've got
it's an interesting point, right? So, I mean, I guess if you can open a third, then you go to a fourth, you know, and you wonder, I guess, I mean, the second's got to be easier to open up than the first, right? I mean, and you've kind of done this before. I think there's a lot of, there must be a lot of tension in the beginning, you know, if this is new for a lot of people, you know, they're opening up their new business. So I think, again, opening up the second is probably easier than opening up the first, and the third is probably easier than the second, you know, so it probably keeps going on after that. You know, we've seen a lot of great stories of franchisees, you know, where they bought their second, third, fourth, and fifth franchise, you
know.
This
is pretty interesting. When you buy your second, you really have to kind of, you know, your job function is going to be changing.
It changes a lot. You know, it is a lot more complex, and you wonder how some people actually handle that, you know? And it's funny, as you're talking about
right.
this, I always say, get good ideas, you know, it was, you know, one day I'm going to go for my PhD, a good dissertation topic, you know, would be, you know, going to the second, buying the second franchise and the experiences that people have, you know, in doing that. It's pretty interesting.
And he did stress capital is number one most important thing, mm-hmm. expansion. He goes, it doesn't matter how good your manager is if you're not capitalized properly. So.
Well, again, I guess this is where, you know, a good accountant comes in as well. I mean, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about not doing this alone, you know. I mean, you do have to seek out expert advice, you know, when you're buying a franchise. For one, getting the advice from a franchise attorney, having a good financial accountant, you know. I mean, that's important
right.
as well. I mean, they'll look at the balance sheet and they'll say, you know what, this makes sense, or you know what, this doesn't make sense to go forward at this time, you know. So there's a right time and a wrong time to do it, you know. So
and it's so important if people are getting financing to have that working capital, to have that cash reserve, and initially when you're getting your first loan to kind of plan down the line
right.
for your second and third. And that's part of our franchise financing services at Diamond Financial. That, you know, that's what we speak to people about.
It's true. Working with experts, you know, it's a lot of times
right.
these are things that, you know, the average person can just not do on their own. So it's pretty interesting.
So, okay. And here's something also. This is from the news press, Marty. Says workouts work well in wee hours. Some gym goers get pumped up at less than prime time. I've been hearing about this. It's, this is written by Dana Harpster,
mm-hmm.
And it starts out, I just don't like working out with a lot of people around.
That's a great way to start off an article, isn't it? I love that.
Said 20-year-old Kirk Brylansky on a two-minute break in his regimen at Gold's Gym in Fort Myers last week. It was past the witching hour, about 12:20 a.m., Thursday morning. By Lansky, a student at Edison State College, began a late-night gym routine while tending bar in Fort Myers. He got used to hitting the equipment after last call before driving home. He no longer bartends, but the habit stuck, and fitness centers around Lee County are responding with 24-hour gyms. I've heard this is starting to get to be pretty popular. Easier access to the equipment is also why Mike Dinko, 49, a Fort Myers resident, goes to Gold's after midnight. There's hardly anyone here, so you don't have to wait, he says. He's been a Gold's member for years. They used to close at 11, and he'd have to rush. That was before 2003 when the gym began staying open 24 hours from midnight Monday morning to 7 p.m. Saturday. And it goes on here. It says, from day one, that the 24-hour change has been an unbelievable response, said Gold's Gym manager Matt Pell. We noticed right away that the late people had begun leaving at 11 were staying later, and the early morning people were coming in even early at 4 or 5.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, I mean, this is, you know, kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember, I mean, when McDonald's wasn't always open 24 hours, you know. I mean,
right.
a lot of people thought it was weird, you know, to have a McDonald's open 24 hours, and they said, you know what, it's not going to work. And sure enough, when they did it, you know, I mean, a lot of them are, they're busy at, you know, 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., so... I think it was interesting that they tried it, you know, and it looks like it is working.
Because people are, I mean, and it seems like it, that it would be better for the club in
mm-hmm.
general. So you're not condensing your hours where the place is more busy, and if it's crowded,
right?
You know, but people might not like that situation, get discouraged, and not come as much. But with off hours like that, you know, you'll spread out your customer base. People will like it better going on their own time. And it goes on, there's another person here who bought the former Fitness Advantage Club down there and converted to a 24-hour anytime fitness franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with them, they're starting to really grow around the country. People used to come in at 5, would sit out in the parking lot and wait for someone to show up in the morning and then storm the doors. The newest local entry in the all-the-time market, the gym open as anytime on Thanksgiving Day, and it looks like that place is doing pretty fine. So this is
a
pretty interesting trend. You know, it's a pretty... big segment of franchising, a lot of these gyms, and I guess you have to look for the edge, the advantage.
Thinking outside the box again, you know what I mean? I think the one, you know, benefit of you know, sometimes being in a recession is, you know, I thinking outside the box and coming up with new and great ideas, you know, and being more competitive, and that's, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me, so I think it's
right.
a great idea. You'll probably see a lot of the competitors follow, you know, suit, you know,
right.
doing the same thing now, you know, being open 24 hours and But that's okay. That's great.
Yeah, I wish I had more time to work out. Maybe if there's a place locally, possibly I'll start doing it as the kids get a little older.
No, it's true. You know, and again, I don't know if I can see myself working out at 2 a.m. or, you know, 3 a.m., but that works some pretty weird hours sometimes as well. You know, as being an online college professor, I can work whenever I want, you know. So, yeah, I might think about it, you know, if there was one close by. So, kind of interesting.
Here's also something, Marty. It's from the franchise profile section of Venturepreneur magazine. You know, I like these little stories. It's titled Dry Cleaned and Groomed for Success. Military Experience Grooms Marine Venturepreneur for Success as a Martinizing Dry Cleaning Franchise Owner.
Mm-hmm.
After a 13-year career as an artillery and finance officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, Captain George DeFazio transitioned out of the military in 1993 and within weeks began a full-time MBA program. While pursuing his degree, he began weighing his career options as he transitioned back into civilian life. DeFazio contemplated a corporate career, but was quickly turned off by the rigid hours and lack of creative freedom. He knew he wanted to start his own business, but as a first-time entrepreneur, he didn't want to risk his life savings on an outcome that was largely uncertain.
Right.
Here's like a classic story. DeFazio looked at a variety of concepts and decided on Martinizing Dry Cleaning because it had a quality service and incredible growth potential. When he opened his doors February 06, Pennsylvania, you ever hear of a place in McMurray, Pennsylvania? That's where he opened. His business was just a little over 1,700 square feet. By 2001, it expanded to 4,500 square feet, including more equipment and a tailor shop in order to accommodate the demand in the community. Though DeFazio knew little about dry cleaning industry when he decided to start his business, his on-the-job experience paired with the skills he learned while in the Marines has helped him to become one of Martinizing's most successful franchisees. Yeah, this would be a nice guy we'd love to have on the show. The only thing I knew about dry cleaning was that I dropped my clothes off, and for all I knew, they took them out back, you know, hit them with a magic wand, and they were clean. he thinks the way I think. Now, after being in the business for nearly 12 years, I know there's much more to it than that, he says with a laugh, though entering the dry cleaning industry was a departure from anything I'd ever done. My military training helped me out more than I could have imagined. I learned that regardless of the situation, there's always a way to get the job done. They asked the magazine asked him a few questions. Do you plan to grow your business in the future? He says, of course, I'd like to open a second location in Pittsburgh. And has your military training helped you succeed in business ownership? He goes, there will always be things that knock you down, but that just means that you have to formulate a plan and pick yourself back up. I use a lot of practices that I learned while in the military, like motivational tactics and good old-fashioned discipline that have helped me make this business a success, which is interesting. And we've talked about people in the military. You know, a lot of different franchise systems have tried to recruit people who've ended their military career. And, as a minimum, they're always mentally tough. I guess they're used to following a system, a regimen, and I thought this was a pretty interesting article.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a great article. It's just something that, I want to continue talking about because I've also always agreed that, vets make, I believe this, I haven't taken a study, but vets probably make fantastic franchisees, So let's talk more about that. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Well, as I said earlier, Don, we have a great show today. You and I have been very excited about this one. We're meeting with Dan Burrell of the Jersey Mike Subs franchise opportunity. And Jersey Mike Subs goes all the way back to 1956, so I didn't realize they've been around that long. Hey, Dan, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great, Dan. Dan, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I don't know if you know Don. Don's the president of Diamond Financial Services, and I know, Don, you wanted to say hi to Dan.
Yeah, hey, Dan, thanks for coming on. We've spoken in the past, and as you know my company's working. I've enjoyed speaking to Brian and Mike at the corporate office, and you know, I'm excited you guys are right in our backyard. I've gone to Jersey Mike's for years. Marty and I talked earlier. We first met our wives, it was in that Point Pleasant area, and I'm not too far from there, so it's pretty interesting.
No, it's great stuff. Actually, I grew up in Point Pleasant as well. My first Mike's sandwich was in 1968.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got some history. It's very cool stuff. And the Jersey Shore is really unique, and what one of the coolest things about our franchise, not comparing everybody else, but ours, is there's some real history there. There's the Jersey Shore, and it's in everything that we do, and that's so cool that Peter Cancro has done that, because living in California and kind of, you know, making our sandwiches out here, the same ones that I grew up with, you know, people get a sense of what the Jersey Shore is all about, and that's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. And you're calling from California this morning. Do you miss New Jersey, Dan?
Absolutely. I do. I don't miss the weather, but it's nice to go back for like a cold weekend, you know, where I can walk on the snow and the ice, but just a weekend. I don't need the slush.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, the weather's great in California. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, and my wife grew up on Jersey Mike Subs as well, just so you know, Dan. She was really excited about today's show, you know. So, you know, being from the area, you know, we got a lot of big hype about it, you know. So it's,
yeah, well, I tell you, the coolest thing, you know, being involved out here with Jersey Mike's in California, my history is Peter Cancro, of course, you know, who owns the company.
Right.
And we played at different high schools in town.
That.
He went to Point Pleasant Beach and I went to the borough, and we played football against each other for 4 years.
That's amazing.
So, it's so much fun to be a part of that, because it takes me right back to my roots. Nothing like working in a business that's connected to your roots.
Absolutely.
That's the big Thanksgiving Day rivalry, right? Point Beach and Point Pleasant.
It is now. Yeah, it is now.
That's
absolutely.
Good.
But we tied our senior year. We were co-division champs our senior year, so neither of us has an edge, you know. We tied 6-6, and we were both co-champions, so we have to leave it right there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, I guess it was meant to be that way.
Right, right.
I guess it was meant to be,
Dan, what were you doing before working with Jersey Mike's or joining the family?
I had started my restaurant career out here with California Pizza Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I had spent 10 years with them, and then I went with a development company called Crusoe Affiliated Holdings, who had a California Pizza Kitchen franchise. So we built stores with them and worked on some other projects, and then it was just the right time for me to step out and open up the Camarillo store 5.5 years ago. Was the first California location, Jersey Mike's.
That's fantastic. Sounds like all that experience helped you in what you're doing now.
You know, life is perfect sometimes. The California Pizza Kitchen does a fantastic job of their customer service and their employee support, morale, that whole category. They're just fantastic.
Yeah.
And so learning from them on that side of it, and then being able to go on the development side and learn how, you know, about real estate and leases and things like that.
Right, right.
It was just amazing that it prepared me to take this next step, which is to open up a new territory for a new restaurant company.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that is interesting how kind of come full circle for you. You're familiar with it back in your hometown, and now you're developing it out.
Well, I'll tell you a really quick story. I was with California Pizza Kitchen. I was running a store in Studio City, and I was reading through restaurant news, and I saw an ad in the paper, and it said, "Meet the country's best sub, Jersey Mike's subs."
Wow.
You know, and now, but the thing is for me is I left Point Pleasant after high school and went into the service and college and then came out west a long time ago. And I saw this, and I was offended because I know that the best subs in the country are in Point Pleasant, Mike's Subs. I did not know that there was any other store other than Mike's. So I called the number, really to give the guy a hard time and say, "Hey, pal, have you ever been to Mike's Subs? Because that's the best sub in the country." And he goes, "That's who we are. We're Mike's Subs."
Right.
He goes, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm Dan Burrell from Point Pleasant Borough." And bam, all the way, up to Peter's name, and it was like,
that's
wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so my dream was, you know what, I want to bring this out to the West Coast and, spend quite a few years putting as much money together as I could and open up our first location. I have a partner, Angel Velasquez, great operations guy, and I envisioned, opening multiple stores in California. We opened up in a tiny little spot. You could hardly see it. You kind of had to be a Boy Scout to find this location. Everybody thought I was an idiot, but I always felt, really strong about the product, that there's no other sandwich out there that can compare to this when you have it Mike's Way and you do it, that number 13 Mike's Way. So this out-of-the-way spot, this hole in the wall, we gave this great Jersey Mike's service. We made the sandwich the way it was supposed to be, and we took this little location, 1,200 square feet in the C Center, and turned it into a very, very big store. And it just started us out right in California, because it wasn't about being in this fantastic center and having everything perfect. It was this tiny, it was almost a spot like Point Pleasant, this tiny little spot, out of the way. And that was the beginning in California for us. And we're up to 31 stores now and in 5 years. We don't grow like we want to put one in every corner. We just want to be in every community. That's what we want to do.
That just goes to show you a good product, good price, and that set system is going to work.
Well, I'm going to throw something else at you, and it goes right back to the roots of where we're from. You haven't been to California, Jersey Mike's. You've been to the sub shops back east. But when we brought these shops out here, what we really focused on was the type of service that I grew up with in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Jersey Mike's, that's what they work from. And that means you look people in the eye, you have a conversation, you get to know their name, you get to know their sandwich. You're a part of the community. And we've done that from day one out here. And I'll tell you, in California, it just doesn't happen often. And people are excited about our product, but they're more excited about walking in and getting recognized and having their little kid get a free cookie, because we do that for everybody under 10.
Right.
We know their schools. We support their teams. It's the way it's done in New Jersey. And there's something grounding about it doing out in here in California, because it really works well. And a lot of we have done so much out here for the community. It's just great. So there's a different style of service that we bring, and it adds to to our product. But people really enjoy that back home kind of in your face. How are you? Hey, what's up, bud? Hey, you look great today.
Right.
That sort
of fun atmosphere.
Yes, and you notice it immediately. Energy. A lot of our customers call it energy. They walk in and they feel an energy in the restaurants.
Right.
Fantastic.
And that makes it rewarding for everybody. It's easier to work and to slice, for 7 or 8 hours when you're having a blast with your customers. And your kids, your 14, 15, 16-year-olds, today's kids learn a skill of being able to look someone in the eye and say hello and make conversation that's going to help them for many, many years to come.
They might be future franchisees, those teenagers working the stores.
You know what? They may be future franchisees. They may end up being an attorney someday. They may interview for a school and get in because they had a personality and they're able to use it. And so it's a tool that I really enjoy, and we all really enjoy teaching these kids they can use forever.
Talk a little bit more, Dan, about the history. We know it started in 1956 in Point Pleasant. When what happened from there? When did the company start franchising?
Peter Cancro was a junior in high school. In the end of his junior year, he surprised at least us on the borough side by doing a deal with the bank and his football coach and purchasing the store and owning it, you know, at the end of his junior, between his junior and senior year. And it was very funny because it was like, what, he did what? what about being a kid?
Right.
And so he owned his own store. And then I think it was 1984, they started adding other stores, started franchising and growing. And, you know, over the years, North Carolina was a very big state. A lot of people from Jersey went down to North Carolina, and they would order subs and have them sent to them on dry ice because you just had to have the right sub. And, you know, and then my involvement 5.5 years ago. We're up to 380 stores right now, and we're on a path to open to have over 1,000 stores in 5 years. And I believe that's pretty conservative. We're, you know, again, it's we don't push, like, let's open stores. We find the right people to work with, the right franchisee, we have a different type of franchisee in our stores. And so finding them and matching them up with the right community, that's how we grow.
Yeah, a lot of times we compare it on the show, Dan, to like a marriage, you know, and it's just so important to have, you know, the perfect match between the franchisor and the franchisee. So I think that's great you guys do that.
Well, you know, and out here in California, it's been important to me from day one that our representatives, our franchisees, are, you know, have that heart. They can talk to people. They have that personality,
right.
Not just the first 10 people that walk in the door, but 10,000 people later in their seventh or eighth year. That they still have that same energy and enthusiasm. So we put them through a lot. We interview. It takes, you know, a month or two at least, but we're going to have them work in the store. We're going to have them go out and do some research. I'm going to really get to know them. There's a lot of successful people that come in that want to do franchises with Jersey Mike's out here in California, but because they've been successful in another business doesn't mean that they're the right fit to work
right.
in a restaurant. And truthfully, I want them to be happy, too. I don't want to turn around in a
exactly.
year and have them look at me and go, what the hell did I get myself into?
You
know,
like you guys date a little. Yeah, we had a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. He said he wants the franchisor and franchisee to date a little before they make an agreement. You know, it's almost
you bet.
Married.
You bet. You know, if they're going to work and they're going to volunteer to work in the store for 3 days in a row, maybe, you know, 7 or 8 hours a day, and they're going to do the menial tasks like, you know, wipe down tables and chat with guests and things like that. You know, if they can do that and they can walk out of there and they can say, I had a blast. That was great.
Exactly.
I got the right person. They come back and go, boy, that's a long day. I didn't know what to do with myself. Then
great.
I don't have the right person. It makes a big difference to work in the store a little bit.
That's great.
I think in general, I like the Jersey Mike's approach to growth, Dan. I think that's great where you're being a little more selective, slower growth, making sure that franchisee is taken care of because obviously that person is going to want to grow himself and have the proper territory and, you know, make this a career and be passionate and like what they do and, you know, and don't have that turnover.
You bet. You bet. And what's really neat about my area as well is I have about 4 franchisees that have multiple stores right now in the last 5 years, and that's going to grow. We just opened up in Westwood right next to UCLA. And on top of it all off, the real estate has become so much better in the last couple of months than it was for the last couple of years that we're now the A player. Jersey Mike's is the A player out here in California. You know, before 4 years ago, I had to try to convince people that we were more than a one-store shop.
Right.
Now they're coming for us, the developers and the real estate people. They all want Jersey Mike's in their centers because the competition has been all over the place, and we're completely different. So that's fun.
Yeah,
and then the
what
real
a great position
up.
To be in. Not only that, but now it's what a buyer's market, I guess, for, you know, the lease negotiation. You're in the driver's seat on that, which is what's been going around with the economy. So that's a great aspect too for the new franchisee coming into the system.
It certainly is. It really, really is. And you know, our stores, do very, very well, and we're very pleased with how things are going in California, and also our clientele is very devoted. We're a destination restaurant out here, and that's a dream for even some of the big guys, you know, the big sit-down restaurants. You want to be a destination restaurant. Every store of ours has a story of someone driving, you know, 10 or 15 miles to go get a sandwich and drive back home again. It's just really beautiful right now, and the real estate market is, you know, I haven't seen it like this, and we're getting deals from landlords that are just fantastic. It's a good way to go right now.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, there are some benefits sometimes, I guess, of the economy.
Well, you don't feel like you're cashing in on anyone, you know, and everyone else
being down
a little bit. But what you do is you focus on what you do well, and you just keep, you know, pointing forward. My belief is there's enough for everyone out there, but there's certainly a place for Jersey Mike's, you know, in the right communities. We're going to do well in the middle to upper incomes because those are the people not necessarily totally affected by this market, but they're not after the fast food price, you know, the dollar nine or the big, you know, the big $4.99, $5 line right now that all the other people are doing. We're not there. We're a totally different sandwich.
Dan, describe the Jersey Mike's franchise system when you're describing it to a potential franchisee. You did a little bit before, where it becomes kind of like a gathering place, and you know friends. But you know, maybe you know, how do you describe it to a potential investor?
As far as owning a franchise?
Yes.
It's what's really important for us is that the franchise owner is an operator. We want that person to operate that restaurant. If there's going to be an investor that's going to come in, and he also is very excited about Jersey Mike's, and we feel that that's the right kind of guy, he's going to have to show us who his operator is, and we're really going to want to see that that operator is involved in the restaurant 100%. In other words, they could be a partner or something like that would be really good. That's important for us because we don't want someone to walk in, start, you know, do a three-store deal, throw a couple managers in the store and look to open other stores and forget what we're about from the beginning. So in out here, when I have people that are interested in doing multiple operations, we want them to start with one store. We want them to operate that store for a couple months so they really get it and they really understand it because, you know, if they're training their managers, if they're training supervisors to carry that on, we want them working in the store with them. And then when they open that second store, they've already created someone that's going to run that first store just like they did, just like they were there, just like they were an owner. After that, you know, they can grow. But what's really crucial is the training that we do, and there's really not many companies that train like this. Our franchisees are going to spend 360 hours in the store. So that's 6, 7, 8 weeks of full-time in-store training. They can't work a job. They're going to have to let go of their job. We do it when they're in construction, and by the time that they get out of that 360-hour training period, they can probably run any store in California from the number one store to the number 30 store in sales. Because they get it over and over again, and they've worked every position. They slice, they sprinkle, they understand the oil and vinegar. We go through human resources. We do everything. I know there's companies out there that, you get a 15-day training program and a VCS tape, VHS tape or whatever, and you throw it in there, and that's your training program. And this works well for us because we get fully trained people. The support that we give is right from the beginning. We're going to help with site selection. We're going to help with working on your letter of intent. We're going to approve every site. We, in most of our areas, have architects and contractors that we worked with multiple times. So we have a system that when they buy into, it's going to make it pretty easy because most people, you know, when they get to construction, they look forward to it, but it's a long, winding, hard road to get that door open. So we assist all the way. And then through the opening, we're going to help them get the store set up. We're going to help them open their store. And support them for the whole first 2 weeks that they're open, and then after that, you know, we do monthly evaluations, we do a lot of visits, we really stay in touch with the franchisee because it's about them being successful. We want them to make money.
Shortcuts there. You really, you know, that's $300.
No, there's no shortcuts. And when I sit and interview someone, and we're on our second or third interview, and I'm telling them that you know they're going to be in a store for 360 hours, you know, you can tell right there whether that's going to work or not.
Exactly.
Man, 7 weeks, are you kidding me? I'm 42 years old, and I'm going to train for 7 weeks. How much can there be to making a sandwich?
Right.
That's a great question. How much work can there be to make a sandwich?
Right.
Well, our sandwiches are simple. I mean, it's all fresh. It's all sliced fresh. It's not that difficult. We don't have a ton of ingredients on our line, all kinds of sauces. We're all about oil and vinegar.
Right.
Onion, lettuce, and tomato and oregano. That's what we're about in our fresh-cut cold cuts. You know, and people are really surprised that they're going to be in there for 360 hours, but, boy, it's well worth it, and we have fantastic franchisees. I mean, we really have terrific franchisees. So
It's the details that separate the stronger franchise.
It is. It is, and the ongoing training. You know, what Jersey Mike's has done really well is they continue to bring people back, franchisees that have been in the system for a year, 2 years, 10 years, and do a back-to-basics program. And John Hughes is our training director, and he does a back-to-basics where, you know what, let's just start talking about oil and vinegar. Okay, I've made 8,000 sandwiches. Why should I talk about oil and vinegar? Because that's what's important is they get the right amount of oil and vinegar. That's the sandwich. You've had the sandwich. That's the hook. It's like a drug. You have that onion, lettuce, tomato, oil, vinegar, oregano. you know, every couple of days, you think about, I gotta have something. What is it? And
right,
it's that oil
right.
and vinegar. I mean, I've been doing that my whole life. So it yeah. doesn't seem complicated, but to get it right over and over and over again, you're right. You got to pay attention to the details. Training's
yeah.
crucial.
I got to tell you, Dan, you're making me hungry. It's a trouble after the show, you know. I don't know about you, Don. I'm starving now, but you just...
Yeah. Well, think about the customers on the West Coast. Think about people... You know, coming into a Jersey Mike's for the first time in the West Coast, and I don't know how familiar you are with California, but there's a lot of competition out here. There's restaurants everywhere. There's every kind of restaurant in the world out here in California. But when you come into a Jersey Mike's and you get the energy and you get people with the enthusiasm that say hello and look you in the eye, and then you watch how we make our sandwich and, the product comes out of the meat case in its original form, you know, the cheese, the long cheese, most people say, wow, my dad used to take me to a place like this when
right.
I was a kid. And you pull out a roast beef that's been cooked in the last 24 hours. You know, for women out here in California, the number six, the roast beef, is the number one sandwich because
wow.
you can't get roast beef like that anywhere. Back east, it's a little different. There's a lot of sub shops. There's a lot of sandwich shops that make the sandwich like that. Out here in California, nobody makes it like that. So I got to tell you, people come into our stores and see that product, you know, come from the beginning. It doesn't come out of a plastic bag. Everything is sliced fresh. The onion, lettuce, and tomatoes are all fresh. There's no – the red centers in the tomato, they're all ripened. They're not the yellow, white centers. All that stuff put together, they're just fascinated out here. When you bite into that sandwich, you know what the final result is. It's fantastic.
That is something. What new question we've been asking on the show, Dan, is what role has technology played in your franchise? I imagine there's been a lot of changes since 1956.
Yeah, the guy, Scott Shearer, that's in charge of technology for Jersey Mike's kind of looks at me, and I think he looks at me like a caveman, like I have no freaking clue what I'm doing. And I really don't. I'm still tackling the BlackBerry and things like that. But I do know that in moving forward right now, the direction that we're going is we are really going to be part of the Facebook, and we're going to be part of the MySpace, because we have this cultish following. Someone sent me in my... Somebody sent me my email, you know, join the Jersey Mike's Facebook club. And it was started by some customer because it's a Jersey Mike's fan club or something.
Yeah,
and we have that you know, that little bit of that cult following in Jersey Mike's. So I don't know if you guys have ever read the book called The Tipping Point, but I think we're part of that tipping point because, you know, like I said before, people are really passionate about our product, our customers are. You won't hear anybody say, you know, oh, go down to X sub shop, which could be the biggest sub shop in the world. Go down here and try that, you know, that sandwich or something. You will hear people say out here, hey, you got to go to 13. You got to go to Jersey Mike's and try number 13, man. Wait, you got to go try that. Go to this store right over here. So we have that cultish following, and part of it's going to be on Facebook, and part of it's going to be, you know, with email clubs that we have going, you know, the technology part of it is unbelievable. The reporting now, within, you know, 15 minutes, I have 31 stores, I can see everyone's sales within 15 minutes.
Wow.
And in the 8 stores that I own, I can pull the store up on a camera at the same time.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic, and it's a new way of managing, you know, because we can use those cameras for going back and, you know, with customer issues and training people on how they handle the situation. You know, I got a guy ran into a store one time and grabbed a tip jar and ran out, you know. They caught the guy down the street. The police caught the guy down the street because we had the camera and everything, and we called the police, and
wow.
they had the evidence, and you know, it's fantastic technology right now.
Man,
plus the online ordering.
Wow.
We're rolling that out with our company. You sit at your office. You got 15 people in your office. Everybody's going to have lunch at Jersey Mike's. All 15 people jump on their own computer and just add to the order. It gets sent over to Jersey Mike's. Someone goes and picks it up at 12:30. It's all ready, names on it, the whole thing, and take it home. It's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of
with a cash type business, it's nice to have that technology cut down on theft. I mean, you know, that's pretty big. I would imagine.
Yeah, well, you know, for any franchise in any business, you know, sometimes what they don't understand in the beginning is how to control your costs. It runs away from you in the beginning, and all of this, you know, in our business, food costs and labor are really essential. And you have to control your costs in a franchise, especially when you first start out, because we do pretty well when we first start out because of the type of promotion and opening that we do. We get real involved in the community. We do $1 sandwiches for the first 5 days when you bring a coupon in, and that dollar goes to a local charity, and that's how we open all of our stores. It's really great because we like doing that kind of work, and our customers like seeing us do that, and then they get to have our sandwich for the first time. So, you know, connecting all that up with the technology and everything is just incredible.
How big is the industry, Dan? Are there any numbers? I know you're dealing in a pretty huge industry.
No, I would never even think about it. Actually, it's, you know, we have there's a lot of competition out here, and there's a lot of competition back east. You know, the sandwich is the number one is the number one choice of Americans of what to eat is the sandwich. It's
exactly.
more popular than pizza or hamburgers or whatever.
That's enough.
And we have the largest franchise in the world. That's part of our competition. I don't even think about that. I think about what we do, what we do well, and I'll let everybody else take care of themselves.
Good.
What other types of characteristics, Dan, you look for in a franchisee?
The first thing I'm looking for is that energy and enthusiasm. You know, when they look at me that first time, when they reach out and shake my hand, do they have that magic? Do they have that ability? Because like I say, it's not just the first time, but do they have the ability to do that 10,000 times in a row? When I get that person right there that is excited about, you know, what we do, and almost all of our franchisees are customers. There are really very few people looking for business opportunities that stumble upon a Jersey Mike's. It's usually a customer, and the customer becomes a franchisee because their passion continues to build for what we do. They're totally addicted to the sandwich. They can't stay out of the store. They get to know everybody's name in there, and all of a sudden they realize, I don't want to be. We have a franchisee that opened just a couple months ago that was a former TV producer here in California, did quite a few well-known shows. His name is Lloyd Weintraub. He is so happy doing what he's doing. He cannot stay out of a Jersey Mike's. He just loves it. And now he's going to be signing a 3-store deal, so he's moving on to 3 more stores. It's just, we look for that excitement, enthusiasm. We're going to teach you the restaurant business, and it's not that difficult. We're going to teach you the inventory. We're going to teach you how to control your costs and your labor. Speaking of technology, we can look at a store at any time in the last year and tell you what day, you know, what hour of the day you were heavy on in labor for the entire year. So you might want to cut back a person at that hour or something. But we're gonna teach you all that. So energy, enthusiasm, ability to go out and meet people, to meet the community. That's what we're looking for. We'll teach everybody else the rest.
So really, no prior business ownership, no sales. Just person who has that passion, energy, enthusiasm is a main ingredient.
You bet. And most people are professional. I mean, if you're going to have a couple hundred thousand dollars to invest in a business, you probably have done well at something else before. You probably have an idea how to balance your checkbook, and probably have an idea maybe some payroll and some managing some hourly employees or some type of management. So, you know, they're coming to us as professionals in what they have done. They got the right personality. We put that together with their training. We have some really darn good franchisees here in California, some really stand-up people.
That's so important. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a Jersey Mike's Subs franchisee, Dan?
JerseyMikes.com. We have a website. It will guide you to more information. It will help you fill out an application to get some preliminary information. Or they can call, you know, 1-800-JerseyMikes, 1-800-321-7676, and ask for the franchise department, sales department.
That's fantastic. And we also have a link up on our show page as well, Dan, for our listeners, so they can just link right to your website. And I want to thank you again. You've been an incredible guest, and I'd love to have you guys back in the near future. I think you agree, Don.
Yes, definitely. Maybe possibly even have a franchisee on. You know, some of these franchisees would be nice to have on in the future, Dan.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely. And that'd be great. And I'd be happy to do that. And Don, we'll grab a sandwich the next time I'm back in Germany.
Definitely.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Dan. You have a great day.
Keep up.
All right, guys.
Work.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. I
mean, my God, I'm hungry. I mean, just thinking of the oil and vinegar, you know, I mean, it really is, you know, Jersey Mike's is a cult following. I mean, once you have one, it's a wow experience, you know.
No, he was describing the fresh meat, the oil and vinegar, the tomatoes and lettuce. I came close to...
Oh, I'm just picturing it in my head, you know. I said, you know, because where I am out in Pennsylvania, I don't think we have one out here in this part of Pennsylvania, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it really is out of this world, you know, for our listeners. You know, check them out, you know, just go to the website, and just amazing with the technology and the training, and very, very impressed.
Yeah, very detailed and lengthy training, but that's what's needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you did a great job, Don,
And again, thanks for listening. And you know, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. And I guess I'll be talking to you. Possibly we might have a show next week, Don. I know we have Hollywood Hands coming up, and you're heading out to San Diego as well. So I think we're going to play some archived versions of our show over the next couple weeks as well.
Good. Great. All right, Marty, good job. Have a nice
day.
Great
job, Don. I'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
Bye.